Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, my name is Adam, and I've been a history teacher for over 10 years now. I usually teach at the university level, but the story I'm about to tell you happened when I was teaching at a high school. It happened when I went to school during the vacations to correct assessments. I liked the quietness of an empty classroom, without the hustle and bustle and interruptions of students. Normally, other teachers would also go and pile into a room to grade together, but I didn't feel very comfortable with that. I wanted silence, so I could concentrate and finish as soon as possible, and honestly, the other teachers were as easily distracted as I was. The moment I walked into the classroom, I felt pretty good, relaxed. The school has a different aura when it is deserted, a peace that I rarely experienced during the school year. It was 10 o'clock in the morning when I arrived. I walked to the classroom number 34 on the second floor. It is a small, cozy classroom, with large windows that let in lots of natural light. I sat down at my desk, pulled out the evaluations, and started grading. A couple of hours passed without incident. The silence was absolute, except for the occasional creak of the old building. At the start, other teachers came by and offered me something to eat, since they were all eating lunch together. Normally, I would have accepted, so as not to make them think I had something against them, but I was feeling a little queasy and didn't feel like eating anything. I told them that maybe I would go later and go on with my business. Suddenly, the dizziness started to get worse. I thought I just felt sick, but as the minutes passed, I realized that something was not quite right in the classroom. I felt the temperature in the classroom begin to rise. I thought it was strange since the weather outside was cool. I got up to open the windows, hoping for a draft to relieve the sudden heat, but they were locked. It was nothing unusual. This school had last been renovated over 70 years ago. I didn't wonder how anything worked. As the minutes passed, everything got worse. A cold sweat began to form on my forehead as I tried to concentrate on the evaluations. The heat was suffocating. Then I heard laughter. At first, they were barely audible, like a whisper, but gradually they became clearer and more distinct. It was children's laughter. I looked around, but the classroom was empty. I went out into the hallway, expecting to see some student who had snuck in, maybe some other teacher playing a joke, but there was no one. The laughter stopped as soon as I left the classroom. I returned to my desk, restless, but determined to finish my work. I was not having a good time, but I didn't have much longer. I would finish this, go say hello to the other teachers, and leave. I tried to concentrate, but the laughter came again, louder this time. My skin bristled, and a shiver ran down my spine. Suddenly, the classroom door slammed shut. The clang echoed in the silence of the building, making me jump. I quickly got up and tried to open it, but it was stuck. Do you know what was even weirder? The door handle was boiling. At that moment, something behind me grabbed me. It felt like a small hand. I turned around, but there was no one there. I started to panic, became more and more dizzy, and fell to the floor without being able to breathe. The room got hotter and hotter. It was as if there was a fire. But there was no fire or smoke anywhere. None of this made sense. Was I hallucinating? Suddenly, I felt that hand again. Only now, there were many of them. They all grabbed me and tried to run me away from the door. I fell to the floor from all the pressure I felt, thinking I was about to faint. Instead of hands, I started to feel feet. All of them desperately stepped on me, trying to get out the door. I tried to scream, but my voice got caught in my throat. I felt a crowd of children running around me. The sound was deafening, and I could feel the vibrations of the footsteps on the ground and through my body. The pressure increased, crushing me to the floor. The children's laughter was now screaming, and I could hear scratching noises at the door. These noises were not coming from outside, but inside. The sounds were getting more and more deafening, and the temperature kept rising, to the point where the air was completely suffocating. I could no longer breathe. I was running out of air. I felt something grab my shoulder with even more force. When I turned around, it was the face of a child. His face was horrifying. It looked like the burned corpse of something that was once a child.
Please! Help
Desperately, I struggled and managed to free myself from the pressure. I crawled to the door, yanked it open, and ran out into the hallway. My hand was burning as if I had been thrown into boiling water. The pain was too severe and the burn so bad that I could feel that some of my skin had stuck to the door. My heart was pounding as I rushed down the stairs and out of the building without looking back. I looked up at the windows of room 34, and for a moment, I thought I saw shadows moving inside. Those shadows were tapping on the window as if calling for help. My surprise was interrupted by the school janitor who was just arriving. He asked me if I was okay and, laughing, told me I looked like I had seen a ghost. I told him that my blood pressure had just dropped and that I needed to rest. I got in my car and drove home, leaving all the evaluations still in the aura. I didn't even look out the window. As soon as I got home, I started to investigate that school. I started to investigate room 34. I didn't think I would find anything, but surprisingly, I did. I found an article from many years ago that talked about how more than 70 years ago, that school had suffered a fire. The teacher in that classroom was a complete psychopath who hated children and was only a teacher because that's what his family always did. Fed up with it all, the man set fire to the classroom and locked the door. As the classroom burned, all the children went to the door and screamed for their lives, clawing at it and trying to escape any way they could. They were all elementary school students, and none could escape. They all burned to death before the school was evacuated and renovated sometime later. After what I experienced, I couldn't stop thinking about those kids and the experience I had. Those kids, assuming that the paranormal exists and I'm not going crazy, they weren't vengeful ghosts or anything like that. What I saw were the kids reenacting their last moments alive, reliving the horror of their deaths over and over again. The children were there, trapped in an eternal cycle of suffering. They were unaware of my presence. They were just reliving their tragedy over and over again. From that day on, I never went back to room 34. Whenever I needed to correct assessments, I did it at home or in the teacher's lounge, away from that part of the school. The school had many other empty classrooms, and I asked to be transferred to one of them by faking a problem with the boilers. When I said that, other teachers agreed with me and said that when they were in that classroom for one reason or another, they ran out of air and felt very hot. I may not be in it anymore, but school is still going on, and the kids who attend now have no idea what happened there all those years ago. To them, it's just a school. I don't know if the other teachers know what happened. I don't think they do. I thought about telling them, but I preferred to keep quiet. There are people in that school who can't lose their jobs, and sometimes ignorance is bliss.
What's up, guys? My name is Laura. Let me ask you a question. How many of you dream of becoming famous? I have to confess that this was always my biggest wish, but I never knew how. I tried several ways. I studied acting, I tried to play a musical instrument, and I even tried to do podcasts, but I never had any luck. I did too many things to become known, but one of them was the worst experience of all, and the reason why I decided to lower my profile. I tried to find ghosts. I don't know how I came up with the idea of creating a paranormal investigation channel, but there I was, in a coffee shop with my friends, planning our first video. Since we are all from New York, Bennett College was perfect for our video. This was a building that had been abandoned since 1977, and there were always rumors of strange silhouettes or inexplainable things happening at night. To be honest, I'm not a particularly brave person, but I guess my ambition, along with my curiosity and the thrill of doing something different, pushed me to go ahead with the plan. Evening came, and we found ourselves in front of the Bennett College. And I must admit that the building was imposing, with broken windows and graffiti covering the walls. It was very windy, and we were all very warm, with noticeably less excitement than before. Despite that, we were all with our flashlights and cameras ready to record. Well, at least that's what I thought, until we were there. When we were a few steps away, I felt a knot in my stomach, and my heart was pounding. Guys, I don't know if I can do this. My friends tried to encourage me, but my mind was made up. I was terrified. If I went in there, I felt something would happen to me. But not because there were ghosts or demons, but because I was suffering from a lot of anxiety, and I felt that I would put my health in danger if I went in there. Seriously, I feel bad. I can go in. Can we come another day?
Yes, we are doing this for you, Laura. If you can or don't want to, we understand perfectly.
Thank you. But you don't have to leave. Once we're here, let's shoot the introduction of the video.
It doesn't sound like a bad idea. We can do that and come in another day when you feel better.
The four of us approached the school gates to film. It was closer than before, but I wasn't as nervous anymore, since I knew we weren't going in anyway. As we were filming, we heard strange noises coming from inside. My friend went over to one of the windows to take a look. Meanwhile, my other two friends were joking around, but I was pretty scared. Suddenly, my friend turned pale and stepped back.
There's someone there!
We all looked, and there was a silhouette in the dark, watching us. We grabbed all of our stuff and ran out. If we were starting a paranormal horror channel, it definitely wouldn't be there. As I was leaving, I could see that person leaning out of the window and looking particularly at me. At that moment, there was an idea that crossed my mind, and I couldn't get it out. That doesn't look like a person. That night, I went home, still a little scared, but also relieved that I hadn't gotten into the Bennett College. I couldn't help but think that if it hadn't been for my panic attack, we would have been facing that, whatever it was. I crawled into bed and fell asleep almost instantly. That was a very stressful day. I needed to turn the page and start a new day from scratch. When I woke up, I felt a sharp pain in my back, feeling cold and hard under my body. I was very uncomfortable. This didn't feel like my bed. It was on the floor, but something was not right. This didn't look like the floor of my room. Besides, the place was completely dark. I got up slowly, trying to figure out where I was. The darkness was total, and the silence absolute. Suddenly, a light flickered, and I could see that I was in the bathroom. Not just any bathroom, but a school bathroom. The white tile and broken mirrors were unmistakable. Was this a dream? I was at Bennett College! I panicked, but this was just the beginning. The light flickered again, and I saw a black silhouette. It was the same silhouette that was watching us through the window. The light flickered again, and now it was closer. It was as if every time the light flickered on and off, that being was closer and closer. My heart was racing, and my hands were shaking. I tried to open the door, but it was locked. I screamed, hoping someone would hear me. But there was no one there, and I knew it. The light was still flickering, and the silhouette was closer than ever. I could feel its presence, as if the air was thickening around it. I knew I had to get out of there, but I didn't know how. I remembered the bathroom windows. They were small, but maybe I could get through one of them. I walked over to the window and tried to open it. It was sealed shut. I pounded on the glass with all my might, but it wouldn't break. The silhouette was now only a few feet away from me. Each flicker of light brought her closer. I could see its eyes, or what appeared to be eyes, glowing. It had human form, but that was not human. There was no way it could be human. Desperate, I started looking for something to defend myself with. I found a broken piece of mirror on the ground and grabbed it, holding it in front of me as if it were a weapon. The light was no longer flickering, but it was so close, I could feel it. Suddenly, the light came back, and there was no one there. Ah! That monster was playing with me. It was hunting me like a mouse locked up with a cat. I tried to open the door again, but it was still locked. In a moment, I took a deep breath to find a solution. I discovered that there was a vent in the wall. It was small, but maybe I could get through. I removed the grate with all my might and started crawling through the duct. It was narrow and scraped my hands and knees, but I kept going. I could hear a whisper behind me and almost imperceptible murmur, as if the silhouette was following me through the walls. I moved faster, trying to put as much distance between us as possible. The duct seemed endless, and the silhouette was behind me, getting closer and closer. As I was exiting the duct, I felt the figure reach for me. As I fell out of the duct, something grabbed my foot, and I felt an indescribably strong pain. I emerged into what appeared to be a classroom. It was empty and dusty, with desks and chairs strewn about. I got up and headed for the door, but fell back down. At that moment, I saw the reason for my fall. My foot was broken. It was completely bent and almost out of place. I gathered all my strength and went to the door, which to my relief, opened easily. Before leaving, I looked into the duct. From it, two glowing eyes were staring at me. I stepped out into the hallway, which was just as deserted and dark. I started to run, limping, trying to find the exit. As I ran, I heard noises behind me. Footsteps that were not mine. I turned my head and saw the silhouette at the end of the corridor. It was farther away this time, but it was still there, watching me. I ran lost for a few seconds until I reached the first floor and looked desperately for the exit door. Finally, I saw it. I ran towards it and pushed it with all my might. The door opened, and the moonlight shone on my face. I kept running until I was a safe distance away. I sat down on the ground, breathing hard. I was outside. I went home and called my friends. At first, they thought it was a joke, but then they got worried. None of them believed me, and they all thought I was sleepwalking and broke my foot in one of my dreams. They took me to the hospital to have my foot looked at. And once I got better, we went back to Bennett College in the daytime and as a larger group. At first, everyone was very skeptical. But when I described the whole route I took and they saw the broken duct cap and some dried blood on the floor, they had no choice but to believe me. To this day, I still dream of that place. Unlike that night, now they are just dreams. I never appeared out of my bed again. I don't know what it was that followed me or what she wanted from me, but I still remember her face. I see her almost every night in my dreams. Nowadays, I am much calmer. And I face nightmares very calmly. But I'm not going to lie to you. I am afraid. I'm afraid that she will appear again at school and that it won't be a dream. If something like that happens to me again, I don't think I will be as lucky as that time I escaped.
The phenomenon in which supernatural beings frequently visit or cling to a particular place is popularly known as haunting. These beings, over time, have been given numerous names, and every culture has its beliefs as to why such beings refuse to cease their torment on the land of the living. The question, however, differs for each spirit, as most of them have their reasons as to why they refuse to leave. Sometimes it could be a loved one they've chosen to protect. Other times, it was against their will, and they have simply been trapped. Other times, or should I say, most times, it all comes down to one thing: vengeance. But whatever the reason may be, ghost stories become particularly intriguing when the places these malevolent creatures choose to haunt could give them little to no reason to seek eternal vengeance. High school could give you some of the best or worst moments of your life. But despite all its emotions and experiences, the halls of a school aren't a place you think a ghost would cling to forever. The El Paso High School, however, has proven many skeptics wrong and is now notoriously known as the most haunted school in the world. The question we're all asking ourselves is, what could have happened that gave the school such a reputation? This is the story of the El Paso High School and the haunted cases that come with it. The El Paso High School was officially opened for students in 1916, and from the first day, it was cited as one of the most beautiful pieces of architecture in the city and was basically considered a landmark from day one. Hence, why it was given the name Lady on the Hill. The campus always had a distinct elegance, setting it apart from any other structure in the city, with marble floors and boasting one of the first concrete stadiums in the United States. Between 1922 and 23, however, the school's name was briefly changed to Sam Houston High School at the request of the local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan, better known as the KKK. This change didn't last long, as the community furiously spoke out against the Klan, leading the original name to be restored. Over the years, the school became one of the best in the world, with great alumni and athletic teams competing on the highest levels. But of course, with such a long history of success and promise, darkness was not too far from the gates of the school. The encounters with paranormal and ghastly figures go almost as far back as the first day the school opened its gates. The first meeting the school had with the dead was during the World Wars, where it served as an overflow morgue due to the fact the actual morgues couldn't hold any more bodies. So the school's immense basement temporarily held bodies that were shipped into El Paso from the Spanish flu until their families were informed. In World War II, the school was also considered a bomb shelter, again due to the size and maze-like structure of its large basement. Many believe this was the school's first real mistake and was the first step in inviting the dead into the halls. The school's odd past doesn't end there, however, as recent research has also revealed students discovered classrooms from the early 20th century in the same basement where the bodies were kept. What made these rooms even more intriguing was the fact that apart from the dust that had covered the basement, these rooms remained in pristine condition and appear to have been hastily sealed and blocked off with no recorded reason as to why. For the sake of their children and through skepticism, the parents hope there's no truth behind these haunted stories, but the uncovered basement classrooms are just the least of a string of strange occurrences that would happen at the school. Through the years, there have been deaths, suicides, and a countless number of child loss in the school for unexplained reasons. Some of the early reports of death in the school came from an early copy of the El Paso Herald Post, which was the local newspaper of the area at the time. The specific copy was printed in October 1935 and stated that three deaths occurred in the school within the year before. The paper told us a former custodian died of a heart attack, a student dropped dead in the gymnasium, and only a month before, a janitor fell dead of indigestion. Also, in more recent times, faculty and students have both given reports of hallways suddenly filled with mist, Gooey substances leaking from the school's ceilings and walls, creaks, cracks, and shadows could also be heard and seen when there was no one around. Of course, the school tried to maintain some decorum and would punish students who frightened others to the point where they left school out of fear. This, however, wasn't working out, as the teachers who handed detentions were just as afraid as the kids they were trying to protect. Over the years, the reports kept flooding in as more people reported slamming doors and the sounds of pep rallies and games going on in the school gym. This happened multiple times, and every time it would occur, the school staff and even locals would inspect the gym and discover absolutely nothing. Word of the haunted school traveled fast through El Paso, and students from other schools would talk and whisper about what their friends had seen and heard while studying at El Paso High School. One of the most infamous cases was of a girl who slit both her wrists, stood on the balcony of the school, and proceeded to jump to her death. The hallway and stairwell leading to the balcony where the girl took her life had since been cut off, but the sighting of this particular ghost is a common occurrence at the school. Many students and faculty have claimed to see a girl standing on the balcony, sometimes jumping to her doom once again. The students who were brave enough sneaked into the blocked-off hallways and reported a strange slime falling from the ceiling and a light mist that covered the hall at least once a day before quickly evaporating. A teacher told a story where, one late night, going home after work, he spotted a girl in an old blue dress standing at the end of a hallway. Now, he was certain that the child wasn't meant to be there, so he approached her and informed her to leave. The teacher claims that when the girl turned to face him, she looked extremely sad, and it was only at that moment he realized the girl was barely physical, liking the girl to mist, saying one moment she was there, and the next she faded away from existence. Now, the El Paso High School already had numerous ghostly and supernatural experiences, but the particular case that unveiled the school's haunting to the rest of the world comes from a class picture that was taken from the graduating set of 1985. Except among all the students and faculty seated for the picture, there was someone else present. Standing in broad daylight was a girl who no one had ever seen or knew anything about. What made it even stranger was the fact that absolutely no one saw her while taking the actual picture, and the rest only found out she was there when looking at the yearbook picture they had all taken together. While looking at the photo, someone noticed that mixed in among the row of teachers is a faded young woman in a white dress who no one knew anything about. During questioning, everyone in the photo insisted that the girl was never actually present when the picture was shot, with some even claiming they had sweaty palms during the photo shoot. Over time, people have tried to explain the strange occurrence, but the girl didn't appear in the photo negative either, and the picture was taken years before anyone had even thought of creating Photoshop. So even after years of trying to understand what could have happened, there really is no possible explanation for the extra student. The class photo, however, now resides in a trophy case at the school, but to this day, no one has been able to identify the extra student. The El Paso High School still functions today and remains one of the oldest and most historic landmarks in the United States. These cases aren't as frequent anymore, but no one denies that the school is one of the most haunted in the world. Alumni of the school have since given their thoughts on the matter, with some saying, "It's simply a special school, and if I spoke on some things I'd seen, I would be locked up in a mental asylum." Another alumnus also said, "I studied and graduated from El Paso High School, and the building just looks and feels like it has seen so much. Believing that that place is not haunted doesn't make any sense, as the ghosts are part of the building's character." The truth is, if these events have failed to relieve people of their skepticism about the haunted school, an important factor the public needs to remember is El Paso High was the first school built in the area. So in any event, if the government or general community needed something, the school would immediately be put to use. El Paso High School is a building that has stood for over 100 years and has witnessed and participated in different eras of secrets and horrific experiences for the community, and as such, it is bound to hold some horror within itself. This is the truth of El Paso High School, and this is why no one would disagree when it is called the most haunted school in America.